Let them know you heard the broadcast here on WTRJ The Truth. John MacArthur is also brought to you in part by Ginn and Paetro, PA, a full-service law firm located in St. Augustine, serving all of Northeast Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have here on this show each and every day. We always encourage you to call in. Lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about a current issue today that perhaps is on your heart, on your mind, that you're concerned about, that you've been traumatized as a result of seeing the video footage by way of television. I'm talking about the floods in Texas, the loss of life. Ladies and gentlemen, across America, we have awakened today, I believe, with heavy hearts and frightening thoughts by some over the flooding in Texas and the loss of life. We understand, I believe the last count was 82 are known dead. 11 of the little girls in the girls' camp, Camp Misty, I believe 11 of those are still missing. They're searching the debris. If I'm not mistaken, at one point they said about 850 people had been affected by that, not counting the hundreds of thousands of property damages, etc., up into the billions as far as dollar amount when it is concluded, in my opinion. This was a Christian camp. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that because of the terrain, because of the location, because of the seclusion, the mountainside, so to speak, the cabin right on a winding river was a place that people would go to, camp out, enjoy the leisure life. But at the same time, I understand telephone service, especially cell phone service, was almost non-existent in that area. Also understand, ladies and gentlemen, that about 24 hours before the flood, the weather forecaster started warning that heavy rain was on the way. Now, they didn't say flee. They didn't say take shelter or leave because it happened so quickly. But listen very carefully. This, I need to set the stage for where we're going today. We're talking about where was God when the flood took place. Where was God? That's the question that many are asking today. Why did God allow it to take place? Couldn't God have just diverted it? Couldn't he have just stopped it? Where was he? Where was God? Why did he let it take place? What do we see? And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the underlying factor of that whole question is something very nefarious that I believe we need to talk about today. I believe it's part of the cause and the effect that this flood has had in Texas, that's still having, perhaps I should say, in the state of Texas. So as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Perhaps you recall, if you're old enough, I'm still under 100, perhaps you recall the days in Vacation Bible School, it was called then, where we'd sing the song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Bible that has the answers. It's the Bible, the Word of God, that shows us what has happened in the past, present, and all of the future, recorded Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. We ought not to have any serious doubts or questions but the fact that God is still on the throne. So the very simplistic, but yet we'll delve into it far more than this, very simplistic answer is, where was God in the flood? He was still on his throne. He's in the same place that he was in when the universal flood took place in the Genesis text. God has never left the throne. God has never left us alone. God has never been on vacation. He's never been asleep. He's never been late on any appointment. He's always been on time. And ladies and gentlemen, according to Colossians 1:16 and 17, it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ created everything, and that it is through the hands that everything consists. And I've used the term, it's God's divine super glue. It is the Lord Jesus that holds it all in his hand and has it all under control. Nothing is out of sight of God. Nothing is out of the control of God. God is still in control. It's in his hands, as the song used to be sung. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. That's what I want to impress upon us today as we think about it. But if we face the issues and look at what the scripture says, Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, made this statement, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy Word is truth." Psalms 117 and verse 2 is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. Psalms 117 verse 2 says, "Thy Word is truth." It is the truth that the Word endures forever, 117:2 tells us. But ladies and gentlemen, there are those that do not believe in truth, out of hand reject truth. Goes back to the George Orwell's dystopian novel titled 1984. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And I believe that's exactly what we see taking place today. Those that want to speak truth are denied, rejected, and called less than brilliant, if you will. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to even beyond Orwell's position. I go back to what was said by a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, that's my admonition each and every day. We need to seek the truth, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it. I'm surprised and I'm saddened when I read a headline. It says, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." And the younger Americans, according to the survey in this article, are those that are 18 to 35 years of age. We call them the millennials. And 55% of them say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They go on to state, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And we need to recognize that much of that is taking place in our society today. We saw that happening on a mega basis with the big, beautiful bill that finally got out of the House and the Senate, and then back to the House, and then signed by the President on July the 4th. We have that big, beautiful bill. By the way, most likely, I'll talk about that big, beautiful bill tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast. I usually do not announce in advance what I'm going to be covering, but I'll probably cover that. What is it that's good about the big, beautiful bill? Why is it that it's not so as bad as the Marxist on the left would have us to believe? There's 942 pages, I believe, was the end result of it. We'll talk about that in pretty good detail in our next broadcast about the what's good about the big, beautiful bill and why should we be grateful for it as conservatives and Christians. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional lawn care equipment and the homeowner lawn care equipment, as well as the power backup equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Glad you asked. There's a benchmark and identifier to find Tools for Time. It's at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole floats Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors of theology and Bible doctrine in Conservative Theological University. I've asked him to join me today on this subject. Where was God in the flood? Dr. Phelps, thank you for taking time to sit with me today in our studios so that we can discuss this, entertain questions and comments from our listeners. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just one moment after the wrap-up of our brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, just a summary statement. When I asked the question, where was God in the flood, what would your answer be?
God is in the same place he has been all along. God's on the throne. God is seated in heaven, and we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated in God's throne in heaven. He's exalted at the right hand of God, where he now makes intercession for us and ever lives to make intercession and to be our great high priest in heaven. I'm so thankful that we have a living God, and it is in him that we put our trust, our confidence. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is the Most High God. He's the only true God.
Amen. Now, let me just put you on the spot a moment, Dr. Phelps, before I share a portion of an article and open our telephone lines for our listeners to call in. Could God have stopped this flood? Could God have stopped the flood?
God can do anything. There's nothing God cannot do.
So one of the questions may be then, why didn't he? Dr. Phelps, let me read this briefly, and then we'll invite our listeners to call in. I'm looking at an article that says, just as I've asked the question, where was God in the flood? This writer says, over the past few days, my heart has wrestled deeply with the tragedy unfolding in Texas. The floodwaters have swept away more than just cabins. They've shaken families, broken hearts, and left many of us asking the hard questions about where was God. He goes on to say in the article, could God have stopped the flood? Yes. Could God have preserved every life? Absolutely. Did he have the power to send angels and divert waters or awaken every camper before danger came? Without question. And yet he didn't. Not in the way that we prayed, not in the way that we had hoped. This is where we enter the sacred realm of the mystery. There were moments in life where divine sovereignty doesn't align with human expectation. And in those moments, our theology must not collapse. It must deepen. We often ask, why didn't God act? But what is the deeper question? Why does he sometimes choose restraint, even when it breaks his own heart? The cross is our clearest example. Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels to prevent his crucifixion, but he didn't. Not because he couldn't, but because there was a greater purpose at work, a redemptive plan hidden within that suffering. So Dr. Phelps, I believe that part of that, in fact, that's a pretty lengthy article. I read about a third of it. I believe the answer to that is really just as you said, yes, he could have stopped it. And as this writer put, yes, he could have diverted the water. Yes, he could have sent angels to protect the people. Yes, he could have awakened the people that were sleeping in the cabin. This took place between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. There was no sirens ringing. They don't have them there. There was no cell phone service, so they didn't have it. In fact, I understand in Camp Misty, cell phones were not allowed, television, radio not allowed. They were there to camp, study the word, to pray, and have a good time of relaxation. So, yes, all of those questions hypothetically asked would be yes, yes, yes. God could have, but the bottom line is he didn't. So we must ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, why did this take place, and where was God? How should we view it? What should we say? How should we embrace the tragedy that is taking place? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question, please.
Yes, Dr. Gambler. And gentlemen, I tell you, God was where he is, on his throne. It's like 9-11. And I remember reading a big article. As a matter of fact, I was in Orlando then. Where was God? God was where you kicked him out of your society, number one. But God is still on his throne. And I believe, because I thought about it and I was so sorry, especially with the little Christian girls, it came to me that, okay, because we in perilous times, number one, and the birth pains are going stronger and stronger. Maybe he didn't want them to go through it, and I believe they're in heaven right now.
Absolutely. Kenneth, you're exactly right. God has a purpose and a plan. But one of the things that I think is so devastating is to see, we witnessed this several times in the state of Florida with the hurricanes. We witnessed it recently up in the North Carolina area with the hurricane that came through. Up and down the eastern and western seaboard of the state of Florida, we've seen it down through the years. And with different things, as you touched on about 9/11, those tragedies take place. It's part of the wrap-up of this whole universe. God's Word tells us that perilous times shall come. And we're in the word perilous means, yes, dark, dangerous, devastating. When you study Matthew chapter 24, you find that part of the signs of the last days would happen to be geological changes, astrological changes, weather changes. Yes. And we're seeing those things taking place today. So it should cause every Christian to recognize time is short, the time is near, the rapture is close, we need to be prepared, we need to be ready, and recognize God's hand at work. And Kenneth, after a few more conversations in relationship to this, I'm going to make a change in direction. I'm going to talk about how man and man's actions played into what we see taking place, what's just taken place in the state of Texas, that's been legal in the state of Texas since 1999, and I believe had a major, major, major play in what took place and the tragedy that's seen. And we're going to talk about that later in the broadcast today. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood and gentlemen.
You've got your radio up, Terry. You need to turn that down.
I'm sorry. But I believe that God was on his throne, and that when we were born to die, and it all depends on what we do with our life from there to when our time comes, because we don't know how we're going to go. We don't, but we can't judge God or ask him where he was. He was the same place when his son was on the cross. And I do believe that a lot of people that has perished throughout of the years, they all had a plan. We have a plan. And that God never fails. And I believe and I pray that a lot of people that passed this time, even 9/11 and the other times, that they were saved. and with the children being at a Christian daycare, God allowed his son to go to the cross. And I believe sometimes those issues are a part of our cross. But it's nothing that can happen to us that he didn't experience. And when he said it was finished, it is finished.
Absolutely. Terry, you're on target and right spot on with what you're saying. God has a plan for our lives. And the major, major thing is to, as I've used the term, and I didn't originate it, we need to find God's plan for our lives and invest the rest of our lives carrying out his plan for our lives. One of the questions that's been asked now, I watched hours and hours and hours on television across the dials as to the replay of the footage of some of the tragedy in Texas, and some of the questions it's asked, well, these were just little girls, these were just kids, they didn't have a chance in life, their lives were cut off, cut short. So some of them, one said, well, you know, we don't know what God's doing, we don't know why, but we're thankful that we know that they're in heaven. And so I'm thankful for the witness and the testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The underlying question, the fundamental question is, how did it happen? Why did it happen? Why was it that the people did not know sooner? In fact, it's not laughable. It's sad. But some of the media are blaming Donald Trump because Trump said he's going to discontinue FEMA. He's going to stop this, stop that, and he's going to prevent it. And therefore, they were not ready. They didn't have enough people. But yet one of the people on the ground in Texas says they have four times the number of people they need to help. They have had immediate intervention by the federal government, the state governments, and they're meeting every need of the people to that which is humanly possible. But yet we find that in a tragedy like this, there's the finger pointing by the socialist, Marxist, communist on the left that's trying to say somehow, some way, it's Donald Trump's problem. It's Donald Trump's fault. But it is not his fault, his problem. God is still on the throne. We're going to ask the question in a moment, why does God allow natural disasters to take place? And that is the fact that we're witnessing the last days. When you look at Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, you find that part and parcel of the signs of the last days are just as we're seeing today. Tragedy, devastation, floods, torrential rains, hurricanes, tornadoes, etc., etc. So it demands our attention, and that we need to recognize we are in the last days, and this is something that, and some have asked the question, why are we seeing so many of these tragedies take place? It is being exponentially increased because we are in the last of the last days. So, Terry, it demands... go ahead.
Can quickly. I please say something?
Yes.
If a person reads the Bible, this is all talked about. And
you're
it's
right.
Like, you can't... If I was to lay head-to-head, toe-to-toe with my daughter, my baby girl, do you not know if death came to her, a light is quicker than how, is slower than how death hit the body? Because last week before last, I experienced, but death was not able to take me. But I felt it, and it was so quick in switching over that it was frightening. But I believe in my heart we're in birth pain, and it hurts. And not well, telling how you're going to go in and come out, you know?
Exactly right. You've spoken of the birth pangs, and that's exactly right. And as we see the birth pangs, just with human birth, the birth pangs get stronger and closer together.
Right?
And we're witnessing that.
And you don't know if you're going to live or die.
It's right. And we're witnessing that at this very moment. So, Terry, thank you so much for your insight and for your call. God bless you. I believe Kevin is on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much for your show. We appreciate you. And, God bless you and your family. I just wanted to say that these we had three hurricanes hit us since in my city, North Florida, Live Oak, Florida, since 2023. Three hurricanes in 2 years, major hurricanes, Idalia, Helene, and another one. And there hasn't been a hurricane to hit Live Oak, Florida in 50 years. And I believe, Dr. Youngblood, they have full control of the weather. They can manipulate the weather to the billionth degree. They carried that water from all the way from the Gulf of America all the way to North Carolina, dumped all that water in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina. So they are definitely manipulating the weather, and we need to research this. And I believe they have the power to do so. Other people have researched this and say they can. So I would not doubt that they're doing weather manipulation in Texas as well. And we need to pray against this, people. We need to pray hard against their weather manipulation, because I believe they have the tools to do so.
Kevin, if you'll take just a moment, I'll touch on it, and then we will continue and then start taking our other callers. But I'm looking at the headline. Georgia Representative Margaret Taylor Greene aims to ban weather control, citing deadly procedures and practices. Most are not aware of the fact what is called cloud seeding and the manipulation of the weather. You touched on it. I don't believe it has anything to do with the carrying of the water from Florida to North Carolina, et cetera, but it has a whole lot to do with what's called cloud seeding. Seeding the clouds. And we're going to talk about that further in this broadcast. Seeding the clouds with chemicals and material that's not only detrimental to the lungs of the human beings, but it's detrimental to our society because it brings about devastating, hear me, devastating, calamitous, if I can use that term, weather conditions. And it's brought about by these mad scientists that believe somehow, some way, we can control the weather, and therefore we can make it rain in places where it's dry, we can make it dry in places where it's too wet, and that we can control the sun so the sun doesn't shine as bright, and therefore it will have the preservation and the protection of Mother Earth. And it all comes out of the climate change, the climate control mindset of the world that we're living in today, especially in America, with the mad scientists. And most are not aware of the fact that most of our states are paying for the seeding of our clouds, which I believe is part and parcel of the cause of what just took place in the state of Texas. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm thankful for your call. God bless you, Kevin, and keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, when we talk about what God is doing versus what man is doing, we understand that God's in control, that nothing takes him by surprise. He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's still on the throne. So if that is the case, and it is, not asking it as a question, but as a positive statement, if that's the case, and it is, then can man override what God is doing, or is God just simply allowing it? What are your thoughts? Because as the Bible records, we can find tragedy after tragedy after tragedy in the Scripture. Speak to that for a moment.
Some of the things that we are seeing happen, I believe, are just as you have said, it is caused by man. Mm-hmm. I was thinking prior to the broadcast today of something that Robert Frost wrote in his perspective of the natural world. Part of a poem that I remember is kind of like this. He says, "The larks on the wing, the snails on the thorn, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world." Mm-hmm. I have respect for Robert Frost. However, I think that he's missed the mark on the last statement of his poem when he said, "All's right with the world." God is in his heaven, but all is not right in the world. I believe it was just wishful thinking. We live in an imperfect world because it's been marred by the rebellion of man. Mm-hmm. That's where it all started. There was no violent weather conditions that are mentioned before the flood of Noah's day.
That's right.
In fact, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 that when God first made the earth, that there had been no rain. God didn't cause it to rain. God had provided what we call a built-in sprinkler system.
A canopy over it, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Built-in sprinkler system. And because of that, then God was watering the earth, and there was no way that there would be any violent weather. It was a perfect world because God made it that way. But when Adam sinned, by rebelling against God, believing the devil, what he said, rather than believing God, the great harm came to this world. Some people try to interfere with the nature and with the water cycle. They create problems like we saw in Texas, and their unwise action, I believe, can